ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from 10th canto, chapter 4, text 28 and 29. I'll read 28 first and then 29 we'll all recite together. Sri Suka Vacha Kamsa Evam Prasanabhyam Visuddham Prati Vasitaha Devaki Vasu Devabhyam Anujato Avasad Gruham. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, thus having been addressed in purity by Devaki and Vasudeva, who were very much appeased, Kamsa felt pleased, and with their permission he entered his home. Text 29, everyone will repeat. Tasyam ratyam vatitayam Tasyam ratyam patitayam Kamsa ahuya mantriya Kamsa ahuya mantrina Devya chasta tat sarvam Devya chasta tat sarvam Yad uktam yoga nindraya Yad yuktam yoga nindraya Tasyam that Ratriyam night Yatitayam having passed Kamsaha King Kamsa Ahuya calling for Mantrina all the ministers Tebhya them Achasta informed Tat that Sarvam all Yat Yuktam which was spoken that Kamsa's murderer was already somewhere else Yoga Nindraya by Yog Maya, the goddess Durga. Translation and Prabhupada by His Divine Guest, S. E. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Maharaj Ki. After that night passed, Kamsa summoned his ministers and informed them of all that had been spoken by Yog Maya, who had revealed that he who was to slay Kamsa had already been born somewhere else. Purport. The Vedic scripture Chandi describes Maya, the energy of the Supreme Lord, as Nidra. Durga Devi Sarva Bhutesu Nidra Rupena Samastita. The energy of Yog Maya and Mahamaya keeps the living entity sleeping in this material world in the great darkness of ignorance. Yog Maya, the goddess Durga, kept Kamsa in darkness about Krishna's birth and misled him to believe that his enemy Krishna had been born elsewhere. Krishna was born the son of Devaki, but according to the Lord's original plan, is prophesied to Brahma, he went to Vrindavan to give pleasure to Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj and other intimate friends and devotees for 11 years. Then he would return to kill Kamsa. Because Kamsa did not know this, he believed Yog Maya's statement that Krishna was born elsewhere, not of Devaki. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Prashchata Desatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gauru Bhakta Vrinda. Everyone, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So everyone can repeat. After that night passed, Kamsa summoned his ministers and informed them of all that had been spoken by Yogamaya, who had revealed that he who was to slay Kamsa had already been born somewhere else. So I extracted a paragraph or two from Srila Prabhupada's conversation on Mahamaya and Yogamaya, where devotees are asking Srila Prabhupada, can you elaborate on the difference between Yogamaya and Mahamaya? So here's what Srila Prabhupada says. Yogamaya. Yogamaya means that which connects you. Yogamaya means connection. When you are being gradually advanced in Krishna consciousness, that is the action of Yogamaya. And when you are gradually forgetting Krishna, that is action of Mahamaya. So here Prabhupada is making it very clear that if you are in connection with Krishna, then you are under the influence of Yogamaya. And when you forget Krishna, then Mahamaya. And then he also makes it very clear, Maya is acting upon you all the time. So there is no escape. It's not like you can say no Maya. It's either Mahamaya or Yogamaya. So we have a choice, right? Which way to go. The one is dragging you and one is pushing you opposite way, Yogamaya. So, just like the example that you are always under the laws of government, Prabhupada gives a nice example here. You cannot deny. If you say, I don't agree to abide by the laws of the government, that is not possible. But when you are a criminal, you are under the police laws. And when you are a gentleman, you are under the civil laws. The laws are there. In any situation, you have to obey the law of government. If you remain as a civilized citizen, then you are always protected by the civil law. But as soon as you are against the state, the criminal law will act upon you. So the criminal activities of law is Mahamaya, threefold miseries. We all experience them, right? Threefold miseries. Always putting in some sort of misery. And the civil department of Krishna, Anandam Buddhivardhanam. You simply go on increasing Srila Prabhupada says, depth of the ocean of joy, Anandam Buddhivardhanam. That is the difference. Yogamaya and Mahamaya. Yogamaya, the original Yogamaya is Krishna's internal potency, that is Radharani. So who is Yogamaya ultimately? Radharani, right? Internal potency of Krishna is Srimati Radharani. And Mahamaya is external potency, Durga. This Durga is explained in Brahma Samhita. Srishti Tithi Palaya Sadhana Sakti Reka Chaye Vayasya Bhuvanani Vibhurti Durga Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Durga is the superintending goddess of this whole material world. Everything is going on under her control. Prakruti is energy. Energy is accepted as feminine. Just like these material persons, they are also working under some energy. What is that energy? What is that energy? The sex life, that's all. They are troubling so much. Oh, at night I'll have sex life. That's all. That is the energy. Yan maithunadi grihamedi sukham hitucham. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto. Their life is based on sex, that's all. Everyone is working so hard, that's all. This is material life. So, that is energy. If a person who is working in a factory, if you stop sex, he cannot work. And when he is unable to enjoy, then he takes intoxication. This is material life. So here, the love is misinterpreted in sex. That is not love, that is lust. Love is only possible with Krishna, nowhere else. Nowhere else, Srila Prabhupada repeats, is love possible. That is misinterpretation of love, that is lust. So love and lust, love is yogmaya and lust is mahamaya. So Prabhupada clarifies very in different ways who is yogmaya, who is mahamaya, and gives us an option, you know. And then a devotee is asking Srila Prabhupada, so what was Arjuna's situation? You know, how was he influenced? Was it mahamaya or yogmaya? And see how nicely Prabhupada explains here that Arjuna, when he was thinking in terms of his personal sense gratification, he was under mahamaya. And when he agreed to execute the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he is under yogmaya. So from this we can also, you know, measure ourselves as to when we are under the influence of yogmaya and when we are under the influence of mahamaya. It's a good compass to look at. And then Upendra, he is asking Srila Prabhupada, how is Arjuna? He was eternally liberated. If Arjuna was eternally liberated, then how is it that he can be under the influence of mahamaya? That was the question. And Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains here, because he is living entity, he is marginal. There is a chance of marginal means, just like the land, between the ocean and the land, there is a portion of land which is sometimes merged with water, sometimes it is land. So a living entity's position is like that, marginal energy. He may be under the influence of yogmaya, or he may be under the influence of mahamaya. When he is under the influence of mahamaya, that is conditional life. And when he is under the influence of yogmaya, he is free. So, nice example Srila Prabhupada gives, and Holland is one country which was actually submerged. One third of Holland was, taken over by the sea. So Holland is like a low-lying land in Europe. And almost one third of the country was taken over by the sea. And then by the human intelligence, they built 66 piers in the sea. It's like construction underwater, over water. And they made a dam, a unique dam, because sea is also tidal. So every 6 hours the sea water rises, and every 6 hours the sea water goes down. So whenever the water comes up, it would come into the land. Same situation with London. River Thames is not a natural river. River Thames is not a river that is coming from the mountains. River Thames is a river that comes from the sea. So every 6 hours the tide goes up, and every 6 hours the tide goes down. And there was a situation almost a century back when at a certain level or a certain time, when the force of the moon is so strong that the sea level really rises so high, and it flooded the entire city of London. See how Maya works. The entire city was flooded, as much as so that the double-decker buses were also submerged. So Holland and England came out with this hydraulic engineering at the same time, and Holland reclaimed the land. One third of the land that was lost, they reclaimed that land. And London did the same thing. They just had to put a dam across the river so that every time, every 50 years or so, when the flood really goes high up, they have the technology to tell. So then they can block the water. And this is how they would control. So, good example here, Srila Prabhupada has given that, yes, it's marginal. Sometimes our life, we are under the influence of mahamaya. In fact, most of the time we are under the influence of mahamaya. And by good fortune that we are in Vrindavan and we are based here, then
we are under the influence of Yoga Maya.
Sisi Radha Shyam Sundar Krishna Balaram Sisi Gonitai Bhagavan Ki. So Kamsa was also in this situation whereby he was under the agency of Mahamaya. Just see, 1 minute he's talking to his sister and brother-in-law, and he's all excited. He is one of the biggest demons in the universe at that time. Considering that being the biggest demon, he is becoming a chariot driver. He rides the chariot, you know. And actually, it's not an ordinary living entity, because we know, so we say that Srimad Bhagavatam is Amalam Puranam, and his name is included in the Bhagavatam. So he was one of the chosen, you know, souls to be Kamsa. So we should not take it lightly that, oh, he's just a demon. No? He was chosen to be a demon, to come and perform certain pastimes, you know, with Krishna and associates of Krishna. So one moment he is saying, I love my sister, she is my best sister, the person I love the most is my sister, and he's going to make all the extravagant arrangements for the sister. And then he is riding the chariot, and bang bang, there is Akashvani. Wake up, you fool, you rascal, you don't know what's going to be happening. As soon as he gets this alert warning, he immediately wants to slay his sister. One moment he loves his sister, next moment, no, I don't love my sister anymore. So this is the nature of uncontrolled mind. This is the nature of demonic personalities. They can be so nice to you one moment, and the next moment they are ready to slay you. You know? And it was the vivek of Vasudeva, the extraordinary intelligence and the faith and devotion of Vasudeva in Krishna, that he is actually able to talk. Consider that the situation is so grave. If you were in a position where either your friend or your spouse or your family member was about to be killed, would you be able to stay calm? Would you be able to speak logics? Would you be able to speak Shastra? And talk to the demoniac person and say, listen, this is not good for you. Right? It's not good for you. He's talking with so much calmness. Dhiras tatra na muyati. This is what it means. Under all circumstances, we should be able to be a dhira person. And Vasudeva showed by example that he was so dhiras. He spoke so intelligently to Kamsa that Kamsa immediately, you know, calmed down. Okay, make sure you give me your children, okay? I'll take every children, I'll kill every child. That was his motivation. Okay, it's not your sister who's going to kill you, so leave her alone. No? So from this we can also understand that it's very important that we learn this training that Vasudev had, this intelligence and the ability that Vasudev had, was because of cultural training right from the birth. No? Every day when we wake up, we should be thinking, how can I be a dhiras, you know, devotee? How can I be stable? How can I be cool? How can I be strong in my Krishna consciousness? You know? Because, like Srila Prabhupada says, padam padam vipadam, every step there is a challenge. Some challenges we are able to see, others we are not able to see so much, and sometimes challenges are really grave. So when extraordinary challenges come, are we prepared to face them? You know? And what is the most difficult challenge that comes in life? What is the most difficult challenge? What's the most difficult time of life? Death! Antkale cha maam eva smaran muktava kalevaran. Krishna is saying that anyone who can remember me at that
time of death will come to me. But how will you remember Krishna unless you have trained your mind throughout the life? You know? Unless we train our mind throughout the life, we are not going to remember Krishna. You know? So as we train every day, smallest of challenge, learn to be cool. Learn to deal with it intelligent. You know, just like the sun rises every day, you can't say, I don't want the sun to rise. It sets every day. You can't say, hey, listen, I want you to stay on for a few hours more. I need some more sunlight, you know, my crops are suffering. Moon rises every night, you can't stop it. So just like the day comes and day goes, every day there will be different challenges that will come and different challenges that will go. Why? Because we have come to Tapobhumi. This is Tapobhumi. This is a planet where we are supposed to be performing tapasya. And tapasya will only be performed when we face challenges. You know? Unless there is some challenge. On daily basis you have challenges, right? Even to rise is a challenge early in the morning. Right? What to speak of other things, you know? And normally, when the alarm goes and you go like this, and you turn around and you say few more minutes, that means you are just very easily given into Maya. Instead of taking the first step towards tapasya, first step towards performing austerity and jumping out. So what is the intelligent way to deal with the alarm clock is to make sure the alarm clock is somewhere over there. I have to jump out of the bed. You know? You do that for 21 days, continuously, seriously, after that, you won't need the alarm clock. Those devotees who have been experienced for years and years, they don't need alarm clocks. No? It's just natural. If you get used to getting up every morning at 3, 3.30, whatever your time is, you'll just automatically wake up. So, we can learn from here several things. Vasudev's calmness, coolness, and also on the other hand, Kamsa, under the circumstances, whether when the Akashvani takes place and Kamsa becomes very angry, very upset, loses his cool and becomes very demoniac and he wants to take action. And at the same time, you see Vasudev, he is staying calm, cool and dealing with the situation and resolving the situation, you know. So, the drama, this is like a drama of life that we can consider ourselves, that this was drama of life for Kamsa, Vasudev, Devaki, the eight sons and all the pastimes that takes place. And we are also facing similar situations, you know. One moment Kamsa is now appeasing Devaki and Vasudev, I'm sorry, the son is born somewhere else, that kid's born somewhere else now, so I please forgive me. And look at how humble Vasudev and Devaki are, that they're actually forgiving him. You know? They're easily forgiving him. Can you imagine if somebody had killed your child, would you be able to forgive that person? Would you? Very difficult, right? If somebody smacks you on, it's not easy to forgive. What about killing? You know. So it's very important that in life we learn to be cool, calm, and assess ourselves. Where do we stand? What is the situation? You know, the drama of life is such that we have to look at the mirror every day and see where do I really stand. What is my situation? So there was one phrase, it's actually a poem that was written by some very important, famous person, then it was sung by a famous person called Michael Jackson. You know. And one phrase that I really liked it from there, it says that, he's talking about looking into life, he's talking about looking yourself, how important it is to change yourself. And this is the way it goes, it says, I'm going to make a change. For once in my life, it's going to feel really good. Going to make a difference, going to make it right. So although it's coming from some pop star or rock star, This is reality. Unless we think like that, that I'm going to make a change in my life, it's important that I make a change in my life. Why have we come to Prabhupada's lotus feet? You know? Why we have come to Krishna Balaram temple? What is the purpose? What is the goal of life? You know? He says, I see the kids on the streets with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see their needs? A summer disregard, a broken bottle top, and one man's soul, they follow each other on the wind, you know. Cause they got nowhere to go. That's why I want you to know, I am starting with the man in the mirror. I am asking him to change his ways. And no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change. So it's very nice, with nice paragraph that I picked up. And I see that, or we should see that, we go in front of the mirror every day and we're putting the tilak on, right? But how often do we look at ourselves and say, hey, listen, where do you really stand? Where are you at in your spiritual life? Right? Almost everyone goes in front of the mirror, and what is it that we go in front of the mirror for? I want to look like this so that everyone can see me like this. Right? You don't go in front of the mirror and say, what do the people want me to look like? Therefore I'll look like that. No? Unless you're on a stage. So it's important that we look at the mirror, and every day we think of how to imbibe vivekness in ourselves, how to imbibe what Vasudev had, and see how I can be like Vasudev. How can I be that servant of Srila Prabhupada that will help, you know, to make Krishna consciousness flow in this world? What is it that I have to do, you know? Where do I really stand? There's so many examples in the Bhagavatam. There is 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam giving us so many different examples of different individuals who are performing soma tapasyas, you know, showing so much love and devotion for Krishna, showing faith in Krishna, faith in Guru. You know. So when I go in front of the mirror, I check myself and say, what is it that Srila Prabhupada really wanted from me? What did I give commitment at the time of initiation to my spiritual master? What is it that my spiritual master instructed me to do? And then where am I at really in my spiritual life? When we look at ourselves like this, it will really help us. It will help us to come to the stage whereby we will start making the change. You know? A mirror may be just a simple object. I can't take a garland and put it on the mirror and say, this is how I want to look. You know, I can't put a piece of cloth and this is how I want to look. I have to put it on. And when I put it on, that means I have to start looking at all the shortcomings that I have. You know. Because in the mirror, when I look the way I want to look, and then you all see me the way I look, you'll see me the way I look. But only I know the hidden details that are within me that I am not portraying and that you are not able to see. But what is more important for me is not to fool myself. I should not be fooling myself. No? I should be thinking, okay, I have X, Y, and Z shortcomings, and all these X, Y, and Z shortcomings, I will be taking care of them. No? So like Kamsa, his uncontrolled mind, his anger, his greed. In the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada has given very nice description of what it is to be
divine and what is meant to be demoniac. And I'll read a few paragraphs or few lines from here about how Srila Prabhupada is giving the qualities of a devotee. Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada is saying that those who are situated in transcendental nature make progress on the path of liberation. For those who are acting in the mode of passion and ignorance, on the other hand, there is no possibility of liberation. Either they will have to remain in this material world as human beings, or they will descend among species of animals, or even in lower forms of life. And then Prabhupada goes on to describe different qualities of the devotees. And one of the first one that he repeats often in Bhagavad Gita, even in the 13th chapter, he's speaking about humility, and he's speaking about humility here to start with. And he says, humility is also one of the qualifications of a transcendentally situated person. And out of sheer humility, the sannyasi goes from door to door, not exactly for the purpose of begging. Here he starts with the sannyasi, on the next one he goes to grihastha, then he goes to vanaprasthi, then he goes to brahmachari, like that. This is the duty of sannyasi. If he is actually advanced and so ordered by his spiritual master, he should preach Krishna consciousness with logic and understanding. And if one is not so advanced, he should not accept the renounced order of life. But even if one has accepted the renounced order of life without sufficient knowledge, he should engage himself fully in hearing from a bona fide spiritual master to cultivate the knowledge. Then he goes on to self-control, Dhamma. And Prabhupada is talking about Dhamma, self-control. And he says, it is not only meant for other orders of religious society, but it is specially meant for the householder. Although he has a wife, a householder should not use his senses for sex life unnecessarily. There are restrictions for householders. We should only be engaged in the propagation of children. If he does not require children, he should not enjoy life with his wife. Modern society enjoys sex life with contraceptions. This is not in the transcendental quality, but is demoniac. If anyone, even he is a householder, wants to make progress in spiritual life, he must control his senses. Then Prabhupada goes on to sacrifice and says in one sentence that the best sacrifice recommended in this age is called Sankirtan Yajna. Chanting of the Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then see what Prabhupada is saying, qualities for a brahmacharya. He says, the swadhyay, Vedic study, is meant for brahmacharya or student life. Brahmacharis should have no connection with women. They should live a life of celibacy and engage the mind in the study of Vedic literature for cultivation of spiritual knowledge. That is called swadhyay. Austerity, this is the next point, Prabhupada's, all these are qualities of a devotee. So the reason I am reading is that, like, when we look at the mirror, we can check where do we stand. Yeah? So important. Without tapasya or austerity, no human being can get liberation. Simplicity, Prabhupada is saying, one should be very simple and straightforward. One should be what? Very simple and straightforward. And then he's talking about anger. He says, akrodh means to check anger. Even if there is provocation, one should be tolerant. For once one becomes angry, his whole body becomes polluted. Very serious point Prabhupada is making. You become angry, what happens when we become angry, right? We simply abuse our own tongue, right? We think that I am having a go at somebody else. But the worst thing is that we don't realize, you know, when we're standing in front of the mirror, we are not realizing that we are abusing our tongue when I'm getting angry. You know? So, in principle, it's very important that we don't abuse our tongue. You know, vacha vegam, jiva vegam, manasu krodha vegam. Control the mind, control the tongue, you know, control the belly. Akrodh means to check anger. Even if there is provocation, one should be tolerant. For one, One becomes angry, his whole body becomes polluted. So in this way, Prabhupada is giving, going through so many different, you know, qualities of a devotee and highlighting. I've just highlighted a few points here, but Srila Prabhupada is highlighting how we should be checking ourselves and what helps us to become a devotee and what helps us to bring our consciousness, you know, to that divine level. And on the contrary, Prabhupada is also giving in the next text here that pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness and ignorance, these are qualities that belong to a demoniac nature. So we have to watch out for these things. Avoid, you know, pride, arrogance, anger and ignorance. And Prabhupada in the purport is saying that in this verse the royal road to hell is described. The demoniac want to make a show of religion and advancement in spiritual science, although they do not follow the principles. They are always arrogant or proud in possessing some type of education or so much wealth. So I will stop here if there is any questions or comments. Yes, Mataji, give a microphone to the back.
Thank you for the blessing. I have a question about the rain. You said at the beginning, when it rains, are there a meaning? Well, because maybe a road for India, a lot of inundation. Is it right in the Shastra? Why is it next one of the suffering, or is it?
Are you talking about rain?
Yes, we know that it fruits of the yakya.
Generally, rain, sun, heat, cold, everything is given to us by the demigods. You know, there are different demigods that are assigned for individual activities. And depending on the individual as well as cumulative karmas in the environment, you know, the rain may fall or rain may not fall. When the rain does not fall, then if you have advanced pandits or brahmanas who know how to chant the mantras, they can actually make the rain come down, you know. Like in Ayodhya, there was drought for 15 years. And the king at that time was, I think, Mandata. No? Mandata king. And he was told that, you go to the Braj, there is a rishi called Sabri Rishi. And if you can get him to perform the yajna, then your city and your state will get rain again. So the king came all the way, and there is a Sabri Kund here, Sabri Rishi's Kund here that people go to, you know. And that rishi actually performed the yajna, and then the rain came. So it's not just a hearsay, it is a reality, you know. And it's a reality that when we're having good weather conditions, that means some good omens are taking place because there is nice chanting and dancing and preaching going on, you know. And then there are places which is hellish, you know. There are places which is like a desert, you know. So when you go in the desert, there is nothing there. You know? What is there? At most you'll find a plant which is called cactus, you know. You can't get any mangoes or oranges or guavas or papitas or bananas, nothing there. These things grow. Wherever there is pious activities, there will be so many nice things happening. No? Okay? Thank you.
Next. You were speaking about Kamsa and Vasudeva when they were having different things to hatch. So in our life also we see each and every person have different activities to hatch. So these are already arranged or it's happening?
Okay. Especially when the pastimes of the Lord are there, there is some pre-arrangement. But at the same time, there is a free will also. Since pass the microphone over to here, please. Yeah. Do you want to ask a question? So there is a free will and there is a freedom. There is a big difference between free will and freedom. Free will means that you can do whatever you like. So when you come onto the planet here, you appear on the planet as a human being or whatever under the influence of Yoga Maya, Mahamaya, or maybe in moderation like Srila Prabhupada said, then you still have that free will. You can act as you please. But ultimately Krishna will get what he wants, whether you like it or not. Yeah, because he was given the body of a demon, right? So he came in as a demon. So it's like, you know, when you grow a mango tree, you'll get mangoes. But if you go to a cactus tree and expect mangoes, then that's our foolishness, isn't it? Yes, Prabhu.
In regards to Mataji's question,
rainfall, yeah. Thank you. Very nice point. Thank you. Do you hear that? Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, Prabhuji.
I have two questions. The first one is, so if you see Kamsa, like, you know, you're feeble-minded, but his actions, if you see that whatever he did, it's very easily, like, we can see whatever he's doing, it's like there's a lot of evil mindedness behind that. But you know, we also see people in the world who pose them to be like very good from outside, but internally they have got all this evil stuff, evil minded from internal. So that is more dangerous, right?
It's very dangerous. It's very dangerous, yes.
How does one get out of it?
See, Kamsa was evil-minded, no doubt, you know, but he had some good qualities also. He was acting very, very nicely towards his own people. But when it came to any kind of, just like Duryodhan in general, he was very good to his citizens also, not just to his family members. But his shortcoming was that he didn't understand Krishna. He didn't understand Dharma, you know. He didn't want to understand Dharma. Why? Because if he understood Dharma, he would have to be more giving to the people he did not like. You know. So that was the same. That's the situation with the demons, that if it means that they have to give into something that is good, maybe very good for everyone and for the universe, but if there's something they don't like, they just won't let it happen. You know. So even Krishna comes to Duryodhan. You know, he comes to the Kauravas with a strategy, but they're not able to take it, you know. So that is the demoniac side of it. Then the other side, the second part of your question, that how to deal with, you know, in this is called Kali Yuga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also quoting that in Kali Yuga, there will be Kali Chelas in the guise of devotees, right? So then the question arises, how do we find them? How do we know, right? How do we trust? Who do we trust and how much do we trust? And often people will ask you, so Prabhu, how can I trust, right? So one aspect is, my own mind is chanchalam himana Krishna. My mind is so flickering. My mind is changing every moment. How much can I trust my own mind, right? That gives you a signal as to how much you can trust somebody else's mind also. Because everyone's mind is changing all the time. No? So this change is taking place all the way, all the time. That's why we have to look at the mirror and see how much I have changed. Have I changed for better or worse? You know? And I can put a mirror on other people's faces also. But they may look good. But what is behind the hidden mirror, we don't know. So therefore, faith in Krishna, you know, Shraddha in Krishna and Shraddha in Guru is very important. When we have proper Shraddha in Krishna and Guru, what will happen is they protect us under all circumstances, you know. Even the Pandavas had to go through so much austerities, but they were always protected, you know. And on the other side, Kauravas, they had so much opulence, wealth and everything, but they didn't have the divine protection. They had protection of Bhishma Pita, Dronacharya and so many other personalities. But they were all on the wrong side of Dharma. Whereas the Pandavas, they were on the right side of Dharma. So what we have to do is make sure if we stay on the right side of Dharma, if we are on the right side of Dharma, then Krishna will surely protect us. And how do we know we are on the right side of Dharma? Srila Prabhupada's instructions are there. It's not I whimsically say, I'm right. But he has given us instructions, you know. Be honest to yourself. Do the right thing. You know? Okay, save yourself. I may like driving a fast car, you know, it's like speeding, there is a quote, it says, speeding thrills, but kills. You know? So be careful, you know, when you drive intelligently, you know. Don't drive sentimentally. When you live your life, live it intelligently. Don't live it on sentiments basis, you know. And then you'll see Krishna is always with you. That way Krishna is always with you. Always be connected to Krishna, you know. I'll end by this paragraph here. Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be the servants of these two principles. And Prabhupada is many several paragraphs, but here how Prabhupada is connecting us to Krishna all the time, how you can be connected to Krishna. He says, one may sell books or enlist life members or render some other service, but these duties are not ordinary duties. These duties serve us as an impetus for remembering Krishna. When one goes with a Sankirtan party or sells books, he naturally remembers that he is going to sell Krishna's books. In this way, he is remembering Krishna. When one goes to enlist a life member, he talks about Krishna and thereby remembers him. Smartavya satatam Vishnur vismartavyo na jatuchit. The conclusion is that one must act in such a way that he will always remember Krishna. And one must refrain from doing things that make him forget Krishna. These two principles form the basic background of Krishna consciousness. In other words, every activity has to be connected to Krishna. We should never be thinking, I am doing this for myself, or my family, or my, you know. It's always, this is something I am doing to please my Guru Maharaj. If you are pleasing Srila Prabhupada, you are pleasing Krishna. Thank you so much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.